We're going to go over to the book of Luke,
chapter 8.
Luke chapter 8 and looking at verse 16. While you're turning there, I might remind you, I've had this up here to tell you about it, and I keep forgetting, and it's the letter from Brother Lance at the Baptist Bible Institute of Bucyrus, where I'll be teaching this year, and he says if you want to take advantage of the classes, if you're uncertain, they are always welcome to attend a couple of weeks to see if it is something in which they might be interested. So he says if you would like to just come and set in on the first couple of classes. It meets Monday night starting September the 12th, and then on September the 19th the whole college will be here for our missions conference, and they'll be coming here. They do that whenever any one of our three churches that are involved are having special meetings. We end up, the college ends up going to that church. So they'll be here on the 19th. But if you want to take a couple of the classes, September 12th, and then the one after the 19th, you're welcome to do that. See if you might be interested in it. And it's offers you a couple years of Bible college on Monday nights. For, I think it's 3 years to get through a couple years. Something like that. But anyhow, you can get into Bible college training. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. No man, when he had lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us your word, giving us this guidance that we need to make it through this sin-cursed world, and most of all, to know the truth of the gospel, to be able to come to Jesus Christ and find forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the great love that you have shown to us. And we ask you tonight to speak to our hearts as we study the Word of God. Open our eyes to see the truth, speak to us, and help us to understand thy Word. We thank you for the great blessings that you've given us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We notice the first thing that Jesus said here is he talked about lighting a candle. When we look at that in the scriptures, that isn't hard for us to figure out about the lighting of the candle. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and verses 3 through 6, and that, pardon me, is 2 Corinthians. Why I wrote down 1 Corinthians. It is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, small g, talking about Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Boy, the lighting of the candle, that time when we came to see the truth of the gospel and we realized that Jesus Christ was the light of the world and He's the Savior. He came to set us free from our sin, and we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ came alive, shone in our hearts. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, and one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And so we can see from the scripture that very easily here this lighting of the candle is that time when we came to the truth of the gospel and received Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now that we have the light of the gospel, we are to let it shine, the Bible teaches us. And he said here, covereth it with a vessel. No man does that, not to cover it with a vessel. When we think about the vessel in the scripture, we can go back to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 4. Chapter 25 of Proverbs, verse 4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. You get the impurities out of there, and you're going to have some fine, pure silver. You're going to have something that's really nice. A vessel for the finer. And you go to Acts chapter 9. We're thinking about this vessel now. It doesn't cover it up with a vessel, doesn't take this light and put it, this candlelight, and cover it up with a vessel. He doesn't do that. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, speaking about the apostle Paul, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now we're beginning to see here that he's using this term vessel to mean our body, our life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. If you want to put that down in simple terms, it is wrong to live together before marriage. It is wrong to have sex before marriage. It is wrong. That's fornication. Not in the lust of concupiscence, verse 5, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God who hath given us also given us his Holy Spirit. And so the Bible teaches us, verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, doing the right thing. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. I know you have some vessels in your house that you just would not want to drink water out of. You wouldn't want to drink anything out of them. You would not do that, not with that vessel. And some to dishonor. He says, verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Then look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, when you stop and think about that and what Jesus said here in Luke chapter 8, he doesn't put it under a vessel, this light, that he doesn't put it under a vessel. What are we talking about? Well, when you stop and think about it, the vessel sometimes that can cover our light for Jesus Christ sometimes is our own life, our own way that we live. This vessel, this body, we can cover that light. We can be selfish and think of self. We can be worldly and get involved in the things of the world, and that will cover that light. We can get involved, in, as Jesus taught, in the cares of this life. So involved in the cares of this light, life, that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ is covered in our life. No man, he says, covers it with a vessel. We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't allow anything in our life to cover up the clearness of the gospel shining through us. He doesn't cover it with a vessel. And then notice what Jesus said there in Luke chapter 8. He said, no man, when he had lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed. Boy, I'll bet some of us tonight would be, well, I don't bet, I'm not a gambler, but I figure that some of us tonight would really be embarrassed if we would go to your house and pull the things out that are under the bed. Might be all dusty and dirty, and might be an old sock under there, something, you know, where a lot of things get under the bed, and usually we put things under the bed to get them out of the way. No other place to put them, so we just slide them under the bed. We put it under the bed, and what do? We forget about it. We forget about it. Well, that's sometimes what happens in our lives with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We, so to speak, shove it under a bed. We forget about it. We're not doing what we ought to be doing. We're not letting our light shine. We're not doing our duty, our responsibility as a believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus made it clear in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Well, he didn't spare any words here. He said, but seek ye first. He didn't say, well, you know, you have your job. I understand you have your job, and you got to do your job, and you got to look to the needs of your family and all that. Well, just read the rest of the chapter. He didn't say that. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, many Christians would have a better life if they would get out of all of this caught up in what they're doing and start getting caught up in what God wants them to do in their life. Have a much better life. All these things shall be added unto you. I don't believe in all this prosperity doctrine, but I do believe that God will give us a better life if we'll put Him first. I believe that He'll take care of us. He says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought up for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And some Christians, they cover that light up by just shoving it under a bed. They've got other things that are more important. They haven't got time for that. Just got to leave that alone. Pastor doesn't understand. The men of the church, they don't understand how busy I am, all the things I have to do. But the Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. What words is he talking about? Well, it's this Bible for us. Comes down to us, the 66 books of the Bible, they need to be in our heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sometimes Christians get so busy and so much to do, they don't have time to do their personal devotions. They don't have time for family devotions. We've been so busy today. We've been involved in this ball game and that ball game and this thing and that thing and everything else. And we've watched this TV and, well, we're all tired. We'll just let it go tonight and we'll just jump in bed. Got to get up early tomorrow. Got school and everything. Hey, what about family devotions? They are important. It's seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What about your own personal devotions? That should be the most important thing of your day. Your personal devotions. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. We are to put Him first in our lives. Go over to chapter 11. Of Deuteronomy in verse 1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments once in a while. No, it says always. We're to keep His commandments. Notice Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And then look what he said in verse 38. This is the first and great commandment. That's what he said. To love the Lord with all thy heart, all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That means we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But some people just shove this thing under a bed. And the Lord is kind of pushed back, left out. We've got things to do. We're so busy and we can't wait to get what we've got planned for the day. And yeah, I know I ought to read my Bible and ought to pray, but I've got things to do. Well, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're taking that light of yours and shoving it under a bed. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to let it shine. Jesus said in John 14, 15, If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. When you start your day, do you say, What can I do for Christ today? Or when you start your day, are you thinking about everything you want to get done today and all the things you want to accomplish and what you want to get taken care of? Or is your attitude, what can I do for Christ today? Will I keep Him first today? I'm going to work throughout the day to make sure that Christ is first in everything that I do. If you go over to Luke chapter 11, Jesus addressed this issue again of the light in Luke chapter 11. He said in Luke 8, you don't put it under a bushel. You don't put it under a bed. And in Luke chapter 11, looking at verse 33, no man, when he had lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place. Ooh, the Lord knew just how to hit us, didn't He? Where's that secret place where you are in? And you say nobody else knows about it. Maybe it's on the internet. Maybe it's what you're watching on the internet. That secret place. Neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, The whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Where are you at in that secret place? What are you reading? What are you watching? That's some good questions to ask us, ourselves. That secret place, is your secret place keeping your light from shining like it ought to shine? You shoving it under a bed, forgetting about your responsibility? And all this month that we've had to pass out the tracts, I'm just not the person to do that. That's not my calling. Other people are better at it. I don't see anywhere in this Bible where anybody has been let off the hook from witnessing. Not any of us. We are to let our light shine. And then notice what Jesus said there in Luke chapter 8. Not only to not cover it with a vessel, not only to not put it under a bed, but he says what he does do with it. He sets it, setteth it on a candlestick. Setteth here is in the active voice, which means this is what you do. This is the action you take with that light of yours. You set it on a candlestick. And of course, Revelation chapter 1, verse 20 tells us very clearly that the seven churches are the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. The best interpreter of the Bible, I've always said, is let the Bible interpret itself. What was Jesus talking about in the candlestick? Is he going to mislead us here? No. The Bible is very clear. The candlestick is a picture of the church. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Ephesians 5 and verse 25, he says he loved the church. The scripture says he loved the church and gave himself for it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. You ought to turn over there and look at this one in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. We're talking about tonight the place of the Christian. What's our place? Where are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be letting our light shine, and we're supposed to let it shine here as we see, setting on a candlestick. We look at the significance of that in the Scripture. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 18. And he is the head of the body. The what? What does it say? The church. You ever heard somebody say, when you get saved, you're a member of the body of Christ? That isn't true. The body is the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Head of the body, the church. Let's go on here and look down to verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is what? The church. The church is his body according to the scripture. Let's go on. Ephesians chapter 1. The book of Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head of over all things to the church, which is his what? The church is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the Bible is very clear that the church is the body of Christ functioning, the local church. Therefore, you cannot be a part of the body of Christ outside of the local church. According to Romans chapter 12, we've all been given different gifts, talents, very clearly. We have different talents, different gifts. Some people can teach a Sunday school class. Others just can't do that. They just don't have that gift to teach. But they can clean, or they can serve in some other area of the church and do a fine job of that, really do well. We're not all gifted in the same way, but we all are to be a part of the church. Have different gifts and different talents to be used in the church. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he's talking again about the spiritual gifts there. And don't forget the context. The context. People say, when you get saved, you're a member of the body of Christ. No, not true, according to the Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now notice this. He's talking about all those different spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. We get down to verse 27. He says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the what? Church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covered earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. He's talking in the context of the church has been given these spiritual gifts. The body of Christ to function, to move, and to do the will of God. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Acts 20 and verse 28, he purchased the church with his own blood. And then look in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. There's our house where we belong. When we get saved, we belong in the house of God. We should be a part of the church. There's some people that say, well, the Bible doesn't teach church membership. Well, they don't read the Bible. There's many verses that lead us very clearly to understand that the Bible teaches church membership. And this thing of setting the light on the candlestick, it should be our lives, our light should shine through the local New Testament church. And he says here, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And every believer should be involved in the local New Testament church. When you get saved, you become a child of God. You are born into the family of God. But you are only a part of the body of Christ through the church. That's the way that the Lord, that's the way the Scripture clearly teaches that our light is to shine. Through the local New Testament church. And if you are not in church, you are not in your place as a believer. You are what we called in the army, AWOL, absent without leave. You're not where you're supposed to be as a Christian. You are supposed to be a part of the local New Testament church and let your light shine. The believer's light will shine brightest through the local church. Church is important. The Lord loved the church and gave himself for it. How can we say that we love the Lord and we don't care about church? Well, it's boring. That's maybe because your heart isn't right with God. You get away from God. You want to know a way to take your spiritual thermometer? It's how excited you are about church. That's a spiritual thermometer. You're not all that excited and you don't think, boy, I can't wait to hear the message tonight. I can't wait to see what's going to happen and what the preacher's going to bring from the Word of God. And your heart isn't excited about it. That's a spiritual thermometer. Because if you're spiritually where you ought to be, you're excited about hearing the Word of God. You're going to want to hear it. And you're going to gain from it. Preacher might even not be all that exciting, and it might be a little bit boring, but you will get something out of it. if your heart is right, God will speak to you from His Word. The believer's light will shine brightest through the local church. You cannot do at home what a New Testament church does. Point blank, period. You cannot do at home what a New Testament church does. Read the Bible, what a New Testament church is, what they did, what Jesus established, what He taught the disciples, and you're not going to be able to do that at home. I've had many people tell me as I'm out visiting, well, I have my church at home. You can't. You can't do what a New Testament church is supposed to do at home. You can't do it. Your light is to shine in a New Testament church. You may be a child of God, but you are not a part of the body of Christ until you get involved in the local New Testament church. And Jesus made it clear here that that is the way our light is to shine. No man. I believe when Jesus says no man, that's what He means. That means you. You are to be involved in the New Testament church. When He had lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel. None of us are to let our light be covered by selfishness, by worldliness, by the cares of this life. No man covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed. None of us, no man, we're not to do that. No. We are not to have a secret thing. Notice what He said in verse 17 here of Luke 8. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. You know, you may be on that internet, and you may have had some close calls, and boy, you just got that thing off of there before somebody came into the room. That was a close one. Got away with that one that time. No, you didn't. Because that's going to be brought out in the open, and God is going to show everybody what you were looking at when you were thought it was all in secret. Oh, when you were down at that department store and you went through and you got a little bit upset with that lady who was running the counter because you were in a hurry, or she didn't figure the right price, you got cheated a little bit, you thought, and you lost your temper about it, and you walked out of there, and you thought, boy, glad nobody in the church was around there and saw that. Probably shouldn't have said what I said. Probably shouldn't have used those words that I used. Driving down the road, you know, you're driving down the road, and somebody starts to come out, and you say, well, blankety blank. Oop. Sure glad the preacher wasn't in the car. Well, you know, someday that's going to be brought out. You don't get it right with God and determine that you're going to let your light shine. You're not going to cover it with a vessel. You're not going to let your life hinder that light for Jesus. You're not going to stick it under a bed. Boy, Sunday, we think about the Lord, but when Monday comes, oh, we got all our stuff to do. Back to Wednesday night again. Well, we'll think a little bit about the Lord. Where's that Bible? Get that dust off of there. I don't want the preacher to see that or anybody else in the church. Shoved under a bed. Our lives ought to be excited. We ought to have church every day in our own heart. You know, we ought to be in the Word of God. We ought to be just excited about the Bible. Oh boy. Got to read my chapters again today. Man, I got a lot to do today. Maybe I can cut it down to just a few verses. I know I'm trying to read through the Bible this year, but yeah, I'll tell you what I'll do. Let's see here. I'm going to get going here. I'm going to speed read it. What did you read? I don't know. I don't know what I read. I read my Bible. Somebody asked me if I read my Bible. I read 3 chapters today. What did you read? I don't know what I read, but I read it. Well, we need to get excited about the Bible. There's spiritual food there. I don't know about you, but when it comes supper time, I get excited. I like to eat. I like corn on the cob too much. And I usually end up eating too much. But boy, it sure tastes good. And boy, when you've eaten and had a good meal, oh, it's so good. Well, you can do the same thing with the Scripture. Boy, you can get in there, and if your heart is right, you can really get fed spiritually from the Word of God. And it's a blessing. Don't let your Bible reading become a chore. Turn it into a blessing. Look forward to it. Pray about it before you read. Lord, show me something today from your word. Give me something to keep me going, because today I'm going to try to keep you first. I'm going to try to seek you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This day, all through the day, I'm going to keep my mind dwelling upon you and how great you are. You might find out that when you get to work and that old job that seems like it's so, so laborious and so, so, oh, I just wished I could get through the day and I wish it was time to go home before I get started. You might find out that that job becomes exciting when you keep your mind on Jesus Christ and you think about Him and you keep Him first, and you'll do a better job as well. Don't shove it under a bed. Don't forget about what you have in Christ Jesus, but set it on a candlestick. Get involved in the church. Get involved in serving the Lord. Find something you can do within the local church and use your talents for the Lord. And then get out there and let your light shine. Be a witness for Jesus Christ, as our Savior taught us to go and to preach the gospel to every creature. No man, he said. He doesn't put it under a vessel. He doesn't put it under a bed, but he put it on a candlestick that they which enter may see the light. And nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Don't let those secret things hinder your light for Jesus Christ. You know, you may, fellas, drive down the street and you may look at women the way you ought not to look at them. And you may think nobody else has seen that, but God has. And that hinders your light. Ladies, you may think that you can dress in an exposing type way and that's just showing off your beauty. But you are just as involved when you dress in such a way to cause men to lust after you. You're just as involved as those men that lust after you. Don't let the things of this earth take away the light shining for Jesus Christ. Dress like a woman ought to dress. Dress like a man ought to dress. Live like a man ought to live. Do the things that a Christian ought to do. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Oh, for some Christians, it's all going to come crashing down someday because of that attitude. Well, I know my life, and I know how I live, and I don't need you, preacher, or anybody else telling me how to do it. You know what you say when you say that? You say you don't want this book to be the governor of your life. That's what you don't want. You don't want God to have His say. You want to have His say. You want to take that light and cover it with a vessel. Let it shine. Put it in the church. Get involved in the church. Do what God wants you to do, and you will see great things happen for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the instruction that you gave us here. To let our light shine. Don't get it under a vessel. Don't shove it under the bed. Don't let the secret things of our life hinder that light. But get involved in the local church. Get involved in serving the Lord. Get involved when church has visitation. Be there. When church has the door knocking days, be there. Get involved. Let our light shine. Get involved in helping in the church and doing the things that need to be done. Not because of us, but because of our Lord, who loved the church and gave Himself for it. The church is His body. And when the church is doing what it ought to be doing, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ will shine brightly throughout the community and around the world. Speak to our hearts tonight to not let our vessel cover the light. Not forget our responsibility, but be involved in the church. We pray if there's anyone here tonight that's not sure they're saved, help them to get it settled. Some may be here who have been covering that light. Help them tonight to determine, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. Thank you, Father. We love you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing an invitation song. And maybe tonight you're uncertain that you know Christ as your Savior. We have personal workers here who will meet you here at the front, take you aside and show you how you can know for sure and you can get it settled tonight. Maybe tonight, as you've heard the Word of God and what Jesus said about